Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Dharma is Pei Zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learning Zech Nishmat Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are starting today at the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Bey's final parak of the Dharma is what we've been covering the past couple of days. What we continue to do so through the end of this week. Sunday is the conclusion of the Masechta. We speak in this Mishnah about Neder Betoas. The person makes a Neder or hears about a Neder and is not clear about what exactly what was done, and he responds or reacts, and what the Mishnah is basically going to teach us is that the reaction, the response that he has to the neder, the fact that he was ill-informed about the neder, is going to mean that his response or reaction is pretty much going to be disregarded. The Mishnah starts off, Nidra Ishtav Esavish Nidra Bito. So here's a woman in his life made a neder. What he thought was is that it was his daughter, but it turns out that it was his wife. He was just ill-informed. So, Nidra Bita Vasavish and Nidra Ishtar, or the other way around. Now, the reason why the Mishnah speak about these two particular women in his life, because a man has the ability to be Mayfair these particular women. So in other words, in theory, could have been made for either one of them or both of them. But the but again, the Mishnah's point is that wrong woman. In other words, he just didn't know. He didn't know which one it was. He just heard that you heard what she said, and you know how pronouns work, the ambiguity. He didn't know which she was which she was being referred to, and then he thought it was one and then it was the other. Now, the example I just gave about the pronoun and the ambiguous usage of it, keep that in mind because later on we're going to be discussing what exactly he was told and what exactly he thought. Meaning, it could very well be that he was misinformed, period. Meaning that he was told that it was daughter and meanwhile it was his wife. Or the example that I just gave where he was told that it was somebody and then he just made an assumption in terms of who it was. So stay tuned because that's going to be an important part of the discussion. We're going to see that as we get to the Gemara. The continuing in the Mishnah, Nidra Benazir Vesavish Nidra Bekarban. She made a neder to become a Nazir. Woman can become a Nazir. Okay, this is a pasuk in the Chumash. So she made a neder to be a Nazir, and he didn't know that. In other words, he thought that she just made a neder with the usage of the term Karban. But he didn't know it was Naziris. Nidra Bekarban Vesavish Nidra Benazir, or the other way around. So again, same basic idea, just misinformed, ill-informed about what exactly the neder was all about. So Nidra Betain and Vesavish Nidra Ben Menanavim, or it could be very simple. In other words, she made a neder regarding figs, and he thought that the neder, or he was informed that the neder was regarding grapes. Nidra Menanavim Vesavish Nidra Menatainim, or vice versa. Harei Ze Yachzir V'Yafir. So now what he has to do is he has to correct himself, meaning he has to respond once again with a new hafara. The hafara that he did with the misinformation that was given to him is simply not going to be a good hafara. And what he needs to do now is after being corrected and after given the correct information, so then he's going to have to re-annul the neder or annul for the first time. Yeah, so I'm curious. I'm happy you asked that. I don't have a good answer, but I'm curious if he was misinformed. Does that mean the clock starts? Meaning we know that he has 24 hours from when he heard. So if what he heard is not correct information, I like the question. I don't know the answer. What he was, if he wasn't heard was good information, I'd venture a guess. But I'm guessing. I'd venture a guess that we're not on the clock yet because he wasn't given the correct information. I think so, again, but I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't discuss it, and I didn't see the Rav discussing that as well. So I don't know. That's the basic idea contained in the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off with the discussion, and that's the following: Lamem Radina Osa Dafkahu. So before we get to the Ran, I'm sorry. Before we get to the Gemara, let's start with the Ran. The Ran says it both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. I'm going to read in the Mishnah because it's a little bit shorter. Savish Nidra Bekarban. What did our Mishnah discuss? Our Mishnah discussed where he was misinformed about what the neder was or who the woman was. Right, one of the two could be his wife, could be his daughter, and he was given wrong information. So the Mishnah's point is that because he was misinformed, therefore his afara is not going to be afara because he wasn't given the correct information. The Ran says, "Savish nidra bekarban sha'amar lo sha'asra Allah." I'm sorry. Let's all start in the same point. I'm reading the Ran third wide line down. The Ran in the Mishnah, "Savish nidra bekarban sha'amar lo sha'asra Allah davar achad ve'amar sheheik karban." Okay. Harez the yachzav yafir. So, quoting the Mishnah, so he's got to repeat his afar. Da kama o afar kamaisa kiven de betos avalomahani velamidi. So the Ran says either hakama or hafar. You see what the Ran did over there? He added hakama into the discussion. Our Mishnah only speaks about hafara, but the Ran says that the same thing would be true regarding hakama as well. Meaning he heard the neder, and instead of, let's say, annulling the neder, he wants to confirm the neder. Right, as we've discussed now for this parak, the previous parak, and the parak before that, husband has, or the father has, one of three options. Either he can annul, or he can confirm, or it could be quiet, and after 24 hours, that's going to be a default confirmation. Fine. Those are the three responses. The Ran says that our discussion that we're having right now would be true regarding Hakama, would also be true regarding Hafara. Let me repeat the sentence correctly. It would be true by Hafara, meaning as stated in the Mishnah, and it's also going to be true by Hakama as well. And the Ran writes, Hakama Hafara Kamaisi Kevin de Batawas Have, since it was done in error, Lo Mahani Velo Midi. Therefore, it's not going to have any effect whatsoever because he wasn't given the right information. V'hachi Isa Batosefta. Now, the Ran says, now how did I know to include Hakama as part of the discussion? The Mishnah only mentions Hafara. How do I know the same thing's true by Hakama? So the Ran says, because I know. Meaning, because I've gone through the Tosefta. And he quotes the Tosefta. Behejashim Hekim Bitaos Yachala Afer Ditanya Hasam Nadra Ishto Vikiyim La Visavra Bito Nadra Bito Vikiyim La Visavra Ishto Nidra Harizay Yafir. The Tosefta says very clearly, let's say he hears a neder, but it wasn't given good information, either, again, wrong person or wrong neder, and then he says, I confirm. And then afterwards he said, you know, that wasn't the neder, that wasn't the person. And then he was given the correct information. Now he has an opportunity to be mefer, because this point of hafar betos is also going to be true regarding hakama betos. So says Aran, quoting a Tosefta, even though the Mishnah is only limiting its comments to hafara. But, yeah.
In the first part of the Mishnah, he knows it's either his daughter or his wife. And he can measure either one. What difference does it make? He knows it's either one or the other.
Okay, so we'll stay tuned, because as I pointed out, that's going to be important. Meaning, what was the first information that was given to him? So stay tuned, because you'll see in just a moment, we're going to explore that point. Lamemer Dina Osa Dafkahu. So now we start with the Gemara, and what does the Gemara teach us? Gemara tells us that, it's pretty much the obvious conclusion from our Mishnah, is that in order for the Hafara to be successful Hafara, you have to be given the correct person. In other words, the right person in your life has to be identified. It cannot be that it was your wife and someone tells you it was your daughter, or it was your daughter and someone tells you it was your wife. You have to go with the right information. You have to know who it was accurately who made the neder. That's the obvious point of our Mishnah. Gemara is setting ourselves up. We turn now to the top of Pezayin Amid Aleph, and the Gemara continues, V'al gabe krayim dechsiv. But the Gemara says, however, I will compare this with another halacha. Now the comparison of these two halachas is very interesting, because now we're going to enter into the world of the mitzvah of the Torah, right? Got to be careful how I say it, because we'll see in just a moment. It may not be, probably isn't the mitzvah in the Torah, but the mitzvah of Kriya. God forbid a person loses one of his seven relatives, so there's a mitzvah of Kriya. You tear your clothing. Okay, with many halachas and details regarding the tearing itself. All those halachas are found in the third parak of Moed Katan. But in the meantime, however, we're just right now going to speak in more general terms, and that is the mitzvah of Kriya. I said in a moment ago it was a mitzvah in the Torah. Probably not. It probably is not a mitzvah in the Torah. Probably a mitzvah derabanan, but you'll see that we have Pesukim and Navi that describes the mitzvah of Kriya. V'ha'gabi krayim dichsiv al dichsiv al Shaul v'al Yehonas Ambeno. We know that the David HaMelech had a very distressing relationship with his father-in-law. Also happens to have been the father of his best friend Yehonasan, and the result of this relationship is that ultimately both Shaul and Yehonasan died. Shaul probably suicide, and Yehonasan was also killed in battle as well. So and over the death of his father-in-law and Yehonasan, so David was very sad, even though his relationship with Shaul was less than sterling, but still it was his father-in-law. He was made very sad. And the Navi describes that he did Kriya. Al Shaul v'al Yehonasan b'no. And he did Kriya for both Shaul and for Yehonasan. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Amar lo meis avi v'kar v'achar kach nimsa b'no. Yatsa Yidei Kriya. Now here we're going to speak very clinically. We're going to leave out the emotion of the halacha. It's a strange halacha, and it's you know, we'll just handle it from a clinical nature. And that is the following: let's say a person was informed that his father died, and he did the mitzvah of kriya. Okay, so he took his clothing and he tore it. Fine. Ve'achakach nimtza beno. And then afterwards, he found out that he was misinformed. It wasn't his father, but rather it was his son. Yatsi yedei kriya. So he has fulfilled his obligation of kriya. So here's the problem. The problem is that when we're comparing the mitzvah of kriya and the halacha of nedarim, they do not seem to synchronize. Because in the world of nedarim, we just learned in our Mishnah that in order for a hafara to be a successful hafara, you have to know from the beginning who it is that you're being made for. You have to know accurately who it is. And given misinformation means that your hafara is simply not going to be a good hafara. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. Meanwhile, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kriya, where we do have a pasuk, the pasuk is not in Chumash, but we do have a pasuk, and the pasuk seems to indicate pretty clearly that your Kriya has to be designed for the person, for the correct person who died. The Gemara quoted the pasuk regarding David HaMelech doing Kriya for Shaul and Yehonasan, and the Navi says, Al Shaul v'al Yehonasan b'no. So you see that based on the pasukim that you have to do it specifically for that person. And meanwhile, when it comes to the halachas of kriya, so if you do kriya for the wrong person because you were misinformed, so the Braisa says, obviously it's not the best, but yatsi yedei chavasa. You fulfilled your mitzvah of kriya, you don't have to do kriya again. And so it only begs the question, what's the difference? Why by nedarim do you have to be correctly informed, and by the mitzvah of kriya you don't have to be correctly informed? Obviously preferable, but the kriya would still work even though you did it for the other person. So Amrei. So the Gemara, this question is bother. The Gemara is now going to resolve this question in one of two different approaches. We're going to go now over approach number one. Lo kasha habistam habim mefarsh. So the Gemara says, let's go approach number one. Approach number one is that the two halachas do in fact parallel one another, and the difference is where you were ill informed versus you were ill informed. What kind of difference is that? Stam versus mefarish. Stam means that someone went over to you and says one of your relatives died, and you leaped to an assumption in terms of who it was, and then afterwards you learned that your assumption was wrong. That's where it would work. Meaning, if it was generic and you were the one who made the assumption, and then afterwards you discovered, hey, that was a mistake, what you thought, not what you heard, but what you thought. So the Gemara says that will be acceptable, and acceptable over here means both in the halacha of kriya and in the halacha of nedarim. If I tell you, the Gemara quotes a Bryce, and the Bryce is going to speak to this idea. Amr lo meisav v'kar v'achar kach nimtza b'no lo yatsi yedei kriya. The Bryce says very clearly, let's say you were told that your father died. In other words, the person was given specific information that it was the death of his father. He did kriya, and then afterwards he learned that it wasn't his father, but rather it was his son. Lo yatsi yedei kriya. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. Amr lo meis v'chasav avivhu v'kar v'achar kach nimtza b'no yatsi yedei kriya. On the other hand, if what was told to him was that somebody died, a relative of yours died, and then he did kriya, and he assumed that it was his father, and it turns out that it was his son, so then he has fulfilled his obligation. So answer number one of the Gemara is where we're going to draw a distinction between being misinformed versus being given not enough information. And given not enough information, and you made a certain assumption, and you were wrong, so the Gemara says under those circumstances, b'di'evit, it would work. And that would be true in terms of the mitzvah of Kriya, and that would be true also in our Mishnah as well. So we're going to now clarify the Mishnah. I mean, I kind of alluded to this when we did the Mishnah, but now let's spell it out. So according to the first approach, in the Mishnah, if you were told, you know, she made a neder, and you didn't say, and you didn't know which she, and you assumed it was a daughter, meanwhile it was a wife, or you assumed it was a wife, meanwhile it was a daughter, so it was based on a faulty assumption, and you were made for the neder, the hafara works. Good. That's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. What about the Mishnah that says that it doesn't work? The Mishnah itself is talking specifically about a scenario where you were given the wrong information. You were told it was the daughter, and meanwhile it was the wife. Fine. Approach number two says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar Kami Betoch De Dibra Kan Lachik De Dibra. Ravashi gives a second approach, and the second approach is we're going to make a distinction between when were you corrected with the correct information. Was it within Tokeh De'Dibur or was it outside of Tokeh De'Dibur? Okay, you've been learning enough, you know. The idea of Tokeh De'Dibur is that if you do something or say something, and within a certain time frame, Tokeh De'Dibur, the amount of time that it takes to say, Shalom Alechi Rabbi, Rabbi Umari, took me, what, I don't think a second, 2 seconds, let's... Just for argument's sake, let's say 2 seconds. So, and if you correct yourself within that time frame of Tokeh De'Dibur, so then it is in fact corrected. This is the idea, the concept of Tokeh De'Dibur. The Gemara now is going to have a very interesting application of this idea of Tokeh De'Dibur. So, how did Kamar Yasi Yidei Kriya Shanim Sabanobis Tokeh De'Dibur? How did Amar Lo Yasi Yidei Kriya Lacher De'Dibur? So, the Gemara says, and here's going to be the very interesting application of this idea. Let's say that you were told that your father died. And then you did the mitzvah of kriya, and then a second later someone comes over and says, no, it wasn't your father, it was your son. So because the correction was done b'tokeh de'dibur, within the time frame of tokeh de'dibur, so therefore the kriya can now be connected to the learning of the correct news, even though you learned about the news afterwards, not before. Okay, very interesting application of the idea. However, if you were corrected after Tokeh De'Dibur, so then no longer can the kriya be connected with the correct information, and so therefore you're going to have to do kriya once again. V'hatanya, the Gemara supports this answer of Ravashi with a brisa mishish lochol basoch beisam nitalev uchim aduma shemeis v'kara v'acher kach meis. So let's say a person had a very sick person in his house, really in and out of on the threshold of death, and then the surviving relative thinks right now that okay, we've just the person just passed away, and he did kriya, and it turned out that there's just a little bit more life of him, and then he fluttered, and then he passed away. So lo yasi yidei kriya. So he has not fulfilled his obligation of kriya, because kriya has to be a response to death, and kriya cannot be done before death. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, lo shana lo shemei sachik kedei dibur, ava besoch kedei dibur kedibur dame. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's only if the kriya was done after Tokeh De'Dibur. But if the kriya was done Bisok De'Dibur, so in other words, once again, same scenario. You thought he was dead. Turns out that he had just a little bit of life in him. You did kriya, and it turns out that the kriya was a second before he died, because his death was within Tokeh De'Dibur of the time that you did kriya. So basically, we could take those two actions, his death and your kriya, we could synthesize the two, and so therefore the kriya can be and is a fulfillment of the mitzvah because it was done within Tokeh De'Dibur.
But it was lifnei though.
It was right. No, correct.
But the thing is, Tokeh De'Dibur maybe we make it simultaneous, but this is not. Does that make it?
I understand, and we're going to have to say. I mean, you're right. We're going to have to say that kriya, simultaneous kriya, is acceptable. I would have made the argument as well that the kriya has to be before. The Gemara is saying no, even if it was done at the same time. And then the Gemara says, and by the way, you should know that Tokeh De'Dibur always works, meaning that you always have a second, 2 seconds after you say something to retract on that which you said, and there only are going to be 4 exceptions, and in just a moment I'm going to make the argument that there are really 2 exceptions, but there's only 4 exceptions to that rule, and that is blasphemy and idolatry. So blasphemy, okay, that's pretty clear. Person curses God and within a second tries to make a retraction of that statement. Doesn't work. Ove kochavam, person accepts himself, right, turns to the idol in front of him and says, you are my God. So then afterwards, a second later, he says, no, just kidding, I didn't mean that. So that doesn't work. There's no retraction on megadav ove kochavim. Also, mekadash megarish. A man goes over to a woman and says, I want to be mekadash you. And he gives her a ring. And then afterwards, a second later, he says, nah, you know what, I take it back. So it doesn't, Tokeh De'Dibur doesn't work by kiddushin, and nor does it work by gerushin as well. Good.
Why not?
Yeah, I know. That's coming. It's coming. Okay. Adkan Divrei HaGemara. That is the end of the Gemara in this discussion of Tokeh De'Dibur. The very popular Ron in today's Gemara. And the Ran has a discussion. And the Ran's discussion is really a larger discussion. And that is, why does Tokadei Dibur work? And with that understanding, then we can go back to the Gemara and then address Danny's question, which is, once we know why Tokadei Dibur works, why are these exceptions to the Tokadei Dibur rule? So take a look at the Ran inside. The Ran is, the Ran starts, short line from the wide lines. So let's start, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Vehilchasa. Two wide lines down in the Ran. Tokadei Dibur Kedibur Dami Barmi Meganafa Vekochavim Mekash Megarish Beperki Yeshnochlam Lo Chashiv Ela Trey. So first of all, there's the same Gemara coming up in Baba Basra. But the Gemara Baba Basra only cites two exceptions, not four exceptions. But the Ran says that's not a problem. Because if you take a look at the Gemara Baba Basra, and the Ran quotes it, so Barmi Avodas Kochavim Vekidushim. Because the Gemara Baba Basra quotes only Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin. But the Ran says it's the same thing. V'lo pligi de megat mechlal v'kochavim u'megarsh mechlal mekadesh. Dikish yitziyol ha'vayam. So the Ran says, look, as far as blasphemy is really a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. And as far as Gerushin is a subcategory of Kiddushin. Because we have a Gzereshava linking, or actually I should say more accurately, a Hekesh, linking Kiddushin and Gerushin. So it's really, our Gemara setting four categories is really the same as the Gemara Baba Basra. And then the Ran goes on and just simply spells out the examples. I did this already, but I only did it because I read the Ran already. Megadav hainu she'im gidev v'chozer bo tokadibur lo havi chazara. So if you blaspheme and then afterwards you say, no, I take it back, doesn't work. Or ovi kochavim she'im amar la'avodas kochavim eliata. You turn to to another entity, and you say, "You're my God." V'chazav alo, have your chazara. That retraction doesn't work as well. Mekadosh and megarish sheim kidesh or girish v'chazav alo tok dedibur la matzi ader bang. So, or you marry a woman, or you divorce a woman, and then a second later you say, "No, I take it back." Doesn't work. Retraction there doesn't work. Okay. Now the Ran addresses Danny's question. V'lo yadana maishna hani. So the Ran has a very simple question. Where does all this come from? Meaning, why should these be exceptions to the general rule of Tokadei Dibur? So the Ran over here offers his explanation. And it goes like this. Generally speaking, we talk and we don't always think about what we're saying. Okay, it's just it's the nature of humanity, the nature of a human being, is that sometimes we speak, obviously, we should be careful about everything we say. Every word that comes out of our mouth should be measured, thought about. Okay, that's the way it should be. But at the same time, however, we understand. We say things, and sometimes we say things we simply either don't mean or shouldn't have said, or it's just the way we are. Ela dato shiachol achzer bo. Built into every statement is basically almost like a condition where you have a chance to retract, because that's just the way we are. People talk and don't always think about what they're about to say, and so therefore there's always a built-in opportunity of retraction. So Tokadei Dibur. Now, it's not an unlimited condition that at any point in the future I can retract. It's that there's a built-in second, 2 seconds of time after I say something where I have the ability to retract from the statement that I just made. Avalhani keva de chamire kulehai. Said the Zoran, and now you'll understand why these are the exceptions. Because think about the topics that the Gemara brought up as exceptions. Blasphemy of God, Avodah Zarah, Kiddushin, Gerushin. These are things that are not done flippantly. And the Ran says, Ein Adam Osa Osam Ella Bahaskama Gemura. Those things are done only with perfect agreement. Agreement of the mouth, agreement of the mind. And that's why Chazar doesn't work, because you don't have this built-in idea of, I didn't mean it. You go over to a woman, you say, I read Magadeshously. You obviously, you thought about it before you said it, probably overthought it, but in other words, you thought about it before you said it, and so it's very serious, and therefore you don't have that retraction.
Tell Grushim to get angry quickly.
Right, correct, correct. It's built in, right. We're going to see at the end of the Gemara and Gittin, there were built-in enactments that were made by the rabbis to...
Their words should be even there.
Right. Right. It's I understand that, but
to go back.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. I certainly hear you. When we get to the end of the Gemara and Gittin, we're going to see that the rabbis did a number of things to try to slow the Kohanim down, right, to make them think about it before they give their wife a divorce. All right. Let me. I'm sorry, Danny. Go ahead. You go.
What about the case of being the Kaddish and animal? And then talk to the Dibur. Oh, I didn't mean to.
Well, I'm saying that condition doesn't take effect.
No, not Mekadosh and animal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I.
You're Mekadosh and animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to the Dibur. Does it work there?
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, this Kedushin, how far do we extend the idea of Kedushin? That's a good question. I don't know the answer. Earlier in the Masechta, we did see the Ran earlier in the Masechta point out that Kedushin and Hekdesh are related. They're related entities. Okay, good. I don't know. Good question. Yeah? Okay. But now, for full disclosure, the Ran says, look, I will tell you this. I saw another pshat, and it's offered by the Ramban, but the Ramban quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so crossed a mountain range to get from Rabbeinu Tam to the Ramban. Ramban was in Barcelona. The Ran was... I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Tam was out in France, Germany. So the Shekazu B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam Zal, the Toki de Dibur Kedibur Dami Takantahu de Tokun Rabbanon. Very interesting. The Rabbeinu Tam says that this Toki de Dibur is a rabbinic institution. Now, this is a different shot. It's a rabbinic institution. The rabbis gave a person an allowance to retract. Mishum Tamid Alokech Mekach Upagabo Rabbo. And why did the rabbis make a Takana? And the reason is Kavod HaRav. Because you're in the marketplace. And you're about to do a transaction, and along passes your Rebbe. Now, even though you're in the middle of a transaction, it's not appropriate that you let your Rebbe just pass by without greeting him. So therefore, sheyucho litein lo shalom. And even though you're in the middle of a transaction, but still, it's not right. Why should it be that your Rebbe passes you by and you not greet him? So therefore, what the Chachamim allowed you to do is go greet the Rebbe with the word shalom alecha Rebbe, then go back. And if necessary, make a retraction of any stipulation he made during the transaction. And the Chachamim allowed this to be done, except for these exceptions of Avodah Zarah, right, Giduf, and Kedushin and Gerushin. This is the pshat within Rabbeinu Tam, that Tokeh de Dibur is a rabbinic institution. As the Ran is about to point out, he doesn't like this pshat. I will, however, point out that how did Rabbeinu Tam arrive at this conclusion? I think it's very simple. Because what is the definition of Tokeh de Dibur? Meaning, what is that time frame? The Gemara never speaks in increments of seconds or time. Whenever the Gemara speaks about Tokeh de Dibur, it's spoken within the context of, it's the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rabbi. So what Rabbeinu Tam deduced is, why is that the benchmark of how long it takes? It must be because Shalom Alecha Rabbi must be intricately linked to the reason why the rabbis made the institution. It must be because you need to go say Shalom Aleichem to your Rebbe if you see him passing. And then what the Rabbeinu Tam did is he just simply added, why did they do that? Because you're in the market and you're doing a transaction, and so it allows you to both give Kavod HaRav and also to continue doing your business as well.
Usually the time intervals on the Gemara, given how long it takes to travel the distance.
Correct. In other words, right. There could have been another way for the Gemara to formulate this particular time. V'lo nichli, but the Ran points out, however, he doesn't like this pshat. It's hard for him to accept it. V'chi beitem masan lakar davar min haTorah, la'olam bekum asei b'nedarim. Because remember, Tokeh de Dibur, okay, on the mitzvah of Kriya is the mitzvah of the Rabbanan. Fine. But Nedarim, which is where we started the whole discussion, Nedarim is a mitzvah in the Torah. Hafar is a mitzvah in the Torah. So you're going to tell me that a rabbinic institution is able to override a mitzvah in the Torah? The Ran says it's very hard to imagine. So the Ran just has a difficult time processing it. With all that stated, just one last point regarding Tokeh de Dibur, and that is that both according to the Ran and according to Rabbeinu Tam, there still is one... there's still something that's missing in their explanation. Meaning, they both basically are pointing out that what is Tokeh de Dibur, it's an ability of a retraction. Either because, Ron says, people aren't always thinking about what they're saying, and so therefore built into every word you say is an ability to retract of it a second or 2 seconds later. Or Rabbeinu Tam, this is a rabbinic institution that allows you to retract, so you can say hello to your Rebbe. With all that stated, it doesn't really help us understand our Gemara, because our Gemara says, where else does Tokhid de Dibra work? Somebody dies, you do Kriya afterwards. As long as you did Kriya afterwards, within the time frame of Tokhid de Dibra, it works. What is that? Meaning, the Kriya that you did, it's not a retraction, right? It's an action. So, how exactly is Tokhid de Dibra work within our Gemara? So it's very interesting. Meaning, even though after having gone through the Ran, and after having gone through the Ran's explanation and Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, it still doesn't totally help us understand our Gemara in the application of Tokhid de Dibur regarding Kriya. So just one thing to think about after all said and done. Yeah. It sounds like he did two. In other words, Al Shaul v'Al Yonah Sam Beno. Sounds like he did a Kriya twice. Now again, Kriya over there, not for family member. Although again, it's his father-in-law, but there's no mitzvah of Kriya for one's father-in-law. Kriya because the king of Israel died, and you know, Yonah's son. I don't know what the argument there is. A best friend, halakhically. I don't know. Okay, Amra konim teinim ve'anavim elu sha'ani toemis. So let's say a woman makes.
So Yonatan, he says in here that he was head of Sanhedrin.
Head of Sanhedrin. Yeah. Okay.
It was interesting information.
I also didn't know that. I'm going to be honest and forthright. I didn't know that as well. There has to be right. There has to be some halachic reason. Best friend's not a good halachic reason. I can emotionally I understand it, but it's not a halachic reason. Okay. Amar konim teinim v'anavim elu shani toemes. So a person makes a neder. Right, next Mishnah, sorry. It's Mishnah, bottom of Pezayin Amid Aleph. A woman makes a neder, and she says, Teinim v'anavim. That's it, she's done with figs and grapes. Kiyam l'teinim akulo kiyam. Hefer l'teinim enum ofer ashiafer afla anavim. So if the husband's mekayim, the teinim, meaning, oh, figs, good. Now stay away from those figs, they're bad for you. Okay. So once he does a partial hakama, kulo kiyam. So that partial hakama is going to be a kiyama on the entire neder. And as far as hafar is concerned, it's not the same. When you make a hafar for the figs, so the hafar is not going to be a successful hafar until you make a hafar for the grapes as well. Now, at this point, the Ran offers two different ways to understand the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is not abundantly clear. By kiyum, the Mishnah is abundantly clear. By hafara, what does the Mishnah mean? Says the Ran, you can understand it one of two ways. Either what the Mishnah means is that because he did a partial hafara, it's nothing. It had no validity whatsoever. Or what the Mishnah can mean is that whatever part of the neder was mufar, and the other section of the neder is still going to be intact. Now you'll remember we had the discussion twice already earlier in the Masechta that neder shehuta miksasa huta kulo, that once you have some of the neder being released, that's a total release of the neder. But we also remember that we made this point earlier in the Masechta as well. That's true in terms of Sheilas Chacham. When you go to a Chacham and he releases you from part of the Neder, remember what he's doing is he's going back to the point of origination. And at the point of the origination, he's removing the Neder altogether. So once some of it's been removed, all it's been removed. In other words, because you're going really at the root. That's not true by Hafara. By Hafara, what the Torah grants the husband or the father to do is to cut it off from this point going forward. So you're basically now talking a little more like surgery. So it could be that in the world of Hafara, you can cut out one part of the neder, and while the rest of the neder is still going to be intact. Okay, that's a but the Ran himself is unsure as to whether which way to understand the Mishnah. Is that when the Mishnah says Achi Afer Al Afla Navim, does that mean that whatever he was made for is mufar, and the other part is still standing, or simply doesn't work at all? Amar konim teinish ani tomes va'anavish ani tomes hare elu shnei nedarim. If, however, she says konim shani toemes and vi'anava shani toemes, and she doesn't lump them, she doesn't bundle the two under the same neder, but she makes two distinct nedarim, so the Mishnah says those are two distinct nedarim. And because they're two distinct nedarim, now we'll treat each one as an independent neder. or whatever is true regarding, whatever the husband or father respond to one, it's not going to affect the other. Good. Mani Masisim Rabbi Shmuel Detanya. The Gemara points out that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel because we know the following Braisa. Isha Yikimen of Isha Yiferen, Amra Konim Tainim, Vanavim, Elo Shani Toemes, Kiem Latainim, Kulo Kiem. The Torah says that her husband, Isha with the Mapik Hey, Ishala, her husband can confirm the neder, her husband, or her husband can annul the neder. And if a woman says, Tainim Vanavim, and he is Mekayim, the part of it, he's Mekayim, all of it. Hey, for the Te'enim, Enim Ufer, Ad Shiafer, Af La'anavim. And if he annuls the Te'enim, so it's not going to be Mufar until he's Mefer, even the grapes as well, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so in other words, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Harehu Omer, Isha Yikemenu, Isha Yiferenu. Ma Yikemenu Mimenu, Af Yiferenu Mimenu. So Rabbi Akiva says no. The two actions of the husband or father of Hakama or Afara are parallel. Just like Yikimena could be part of it, so too Hafara could be part of it as well. So so Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. He's not going to make a split between Hakama and Afara. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, partial Hakama is a Hakama for all of it, but that's not true regarding Hafara. According to Rabbi Akiva, so there's such a thing as partial Hakama, there's such a thing as partial Hafara. Rabbi Shmuel makes Yafer Mimenu. In terms of a defense of Rabbi Shmuel, we don't have this idea of Yafer Mimenu. The Torah only says Mimenu as it relates to Hakama. Rabbi Akiva makes Shafar Hakama. Ma Hakama Mimenu, Hafara Mimenu. And Rabbi Akiva's argument is, you're right. But at the same time, the two ideas are in the same pasuk, what we call hekesh. So just like there's a partial hafara, there's also going to be a partial hakam as well. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zudev Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara points out there is actually a third opinion on this entire discussion. Avachachamim Omrim, Mekeshakam al Afar, Ma'afara, Ma'ashefer Afar, Afakama, Ma'ashekiyem Kiyam. So according to the Chachamim, there's a hekesh between Hakama and Hafara. Just like by Hafara, the part that he was Mefer is in fact Mufar, so too by Hakama, the part that he was Mekim is Mekuyam. Okay, so that's the Gemara says, that's the third opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim. And so therefore, as opposed to, again, just to reiterate, as opposed to Hataras Nadar, when you go to a Chacham, and it's Sheilas Chacham, he removes some of the neder, so then all the neder is removed because, again, you're going back at the root of the neder. Over here, however, both regarding the husband's ability of Hakama and Hafara, again, our Mishnah has an opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva has an opinion, but the Gemara points out, we go like the Chachamim, which is that you could do surgery on both Hakama and Hafara. It doesn't go back at the root, it only affects the neder from this point going forward, and therefore, you could do a partial Hakama, you could do a partial Hafara.
And that's
the accepted halacha. Okay, finishing up over here, the Amra Konim Te'enam.
So if the wife said grape and fig, the husband can say grape by no means.
Yeah, correct. In other words, he can pick and choose. The one on figs, good. The one on grapes, no good.
But the thing is, there is shtika, then he could confirm the second part also.
Right. In other words, he could be made for one and then just allow the other one to pass.
You could correct.
Amar konim te'enam, amar rava masifzim rabbi shimon hid, amar ashi amar shvul l'chol echa ve'echa. A discussion that we also saw earlier in the Masechta, and we get to review again, and that is the following. At what point does the bundled neder turn into two distinct nedarim? So Rabbi Shimon's point is really made primarily in Masechta Shavuos. The Gemara is borrowing his idea in Shavuos and applying it to Nadarim, and that is that in the world of Shavuos, you have to make a Shavuot to every single person, right? The case in the Gemara Shavuos over there is where he's denying a claim, and there's multiple people standing at his door making a claim against him, a monetary claim against him. He says, "I swear I don't owe you, and I swear I don't owe you," and you have to keep repeating, "I swear, I swear, I swear," for each person, and then it turns out that what you made is a false shvuah. The Torah says under such circumstances you would then have to bring a karban. for having denied owed a monetary claim, with a shvua you denied it, you have to bring a carbon in every shvua. According to Rabbi Shimon, the shvuas are only segregated only if you say the word shvua for each and every one. Same thing over here in the world of Nedarim. If you want to take Te'ena Va'anavim and divide into two, you have to say Koneim Te'ena, Koneim Anavim, in order to divide into two. And the Ran points out, you know, that you notice that the Gemara a couple times now in our Masechta has said, Armish falls like Rabbi Shimon. The Ran points out, that's the Halacha. The Halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, that in order to take a Nedar and to turn it into two separate Nedarim, you have to make a full statement. And even the Ran said earlier, even if you just had a Vav in the middle, that's not enough to segregate. You have to say, Konim Shani Toim and Konim Shani Toim, and you have to make it as two separate statements. I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud.